I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away. I'm coming home, baby, now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're just concluding our discussion today about Act 10. And we got somebody watching on YouTube that has, I think, tried to suggest that I am attacking workers in some way. I am not. What I am suggesting is that Act 10, its implications, its costs, both direct and indirect, are more complicated than either what the Republican or Democratic talking points are. But I will leave you with these thoughts, and then I'm going to take my last caller. Thank you, sir, for your patience. Hang on one second. This is my last thought. Again, I want to frame this correctly. I fundamentally have always supported the workers' right to organize and argue for higher wages and better benefits and working conditions. Full stop, with no qualifications. Act 10 is unconstitutional on its face. Full stop, no qualifications. Public sector unions are not perfectly analogous to private sector unions. And writ large, what I want for workers are compensation and benefit systems that reward extraordinary performance, as well as tenure and loyalty to the company, business, or governmental jurisdiction, but that compensation and benefit systems that are fair. That's what workers want. That's what workers deserve. And by the way, the systems as we have them structured now aren't particularly fair. I could do a whole show again on tax policy. We screw workers and reward the wealthy. We tax wealth different than we tax work. All of that is stupid. But let's take our last caller on this, and then I'd like to talk about how we're going to evaluate the Trump 2.0 term. Jeffrey from Madison, you're going to have the last word on Act 10, sir. Go for it.
Good afternoon. Well, I was a public employee. I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years, and Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
Now, the reason the public employees can't go on strike is because in 1977, the Madison school teachers went on strike, and I forget how long they were out, but because of that, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike.
Yep.
So what effectively happened with Act 10 is not only can we not strike, but now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits. So they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes. I couldn't agree with you more, Jeffrey. It's why I opposed Act 10 then. It's why I oppose it now. There are better ways to address public governmental funding and how we operate our compensation systems other than through what was an absolute axe, otherwise known as Act 10. A scalpel and other much more nuanced approaches to these things would have been very, very appropriate and much more called for at that time. Here's the interesting wrinkle, folks. Watch this space. Everybody knows that, you know, the state had to renegotiate and reset shared revenue formulas and had to greenlight finally some sales tax revenue for the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. Well, as part of that deal, every single employee starting in 2024 is now part of the state WRS retirement system. So how the heck is that going to work if all of these bargaining rights come back? You know, watch this space. A lot still to come. There will be appeals. We will continue to report out on this. Again, I want to be extraordinarily clear. One of the things that bothered me the most was the fact that the single largest cost driver for the city of Milwaukee, and to a lesser extent, Milwaukee County, but a huge cost driver, were police and fire pension costs. So please doubt any justification that relies on, well, we save taxpayers money. Because they didn't touch the pensions and benefits that are the largest cost drivers. Okay. So was there bloated pension benefits that came about through the pension scandal that Tom Amend ushered in? And then, oh, by the way, Scott Walker did nothing to solve in Milwaukee County. Yeah, they sure did. Right. But the idea that Scott Walker would then disempower all public unions except for police and fire, who are the largest cost drivers in the largest jurisdictions, their benefits are, it just makes no sense. None of it holds true. But I wanted to introduce a new topic. Thank you all for your incredible participation today, the criticisms, the questions, the feedback. I think we can all admit that Wisconsinites deserve better than Act 10. And we certainly deserve better than politicians lying to us about what it means. This stuff is very complicated. Speaking of which, I have been really curious about how the heck MAGA voters are going to judge whether or not Trump 2.0 is successful, right? Because, like, here's what Trump got done in 1.0. He made abortion illegal and he gave tax cuts to billionaires and the largest, most profitable by billions and billions and trillions of dollars corporations. That's what Donald Trump got done. You might have thought you got a little check with Donald Trump's name on it, but that check came at the expense of you continuing to have your pocket picked to fund larger tax breaks for 100 millionaires and billionaires and companies like Amazon. Okay? So, if you're a MAGA voter out there, how will you judge whether or not Donald Trump is successful? Okay? I would like to know, what are those metrics? Like, what are you looking for? And by the way, Donald Trump's approval rating when he left the White House was like 34%. Maybe that's because, you know, he screwed up the COVID response. One thing I will say did good well with COVID is that vaccine actually got developed really quickly. Donald Trump did that, even though he's now appointed an anti-vaxxer, RFK. But then he proceeded to lie to the American public. It's interesting, this is just another random thought. It's interesting to me how Republicans are so offended by Joe Biden's lie about the pardon for Hunter. And I think Joe Biden should have never said anything, or when he issued the pardon should have said, I changed my mind, and very clearly owned it. But Donald Trump got on stage almost on a daily basis during COVID and lied and made up stuff that cost Americans lives. Like, you know, shine a little light on it. Maybe a little bleach will clear it out. I mean, again, remember the rubric. When confronted with a lie, we need to assess impact and purpose, the acuity of the lie, and the result. By any measure, Joe Biden's lie about the pardon for Hunter Biden impacts Joe Biden's legacy, Hunter Biden's future, but not much else other than the dangerous precedent it sets, potentially. Donald Trump's daily lies have divided Americans and cost tens of thousands of Americans' lives during COVID. RFK's lies have cost people's lives, right? Like, this is the problem. We need to judge the impact of these things. So here are my questions. Again, first administration, I'm going to build the wall and Mexico's going to pay for it. Mexico didn't pay for it and the wall was never finished. Portions of it were started. There is a little bit more wall now, but there's no completed wall. So failure there. What does success look like when it comes to mass deportation, CJ? One of my favorite conservative callers, CJ, what does success look like when Donald Trump says mass deportations? Like, how many millions is enough? Do you have a number in mind?
One here illegally is too many.
So do you deport all people that are here illegally, and how do you do it? How many is enough? Is it all of them? Is it 100%?
Well, remember, your candidate said that the wall was racist and then all of a sudden believed that she should build more.
CJ, she didn't win. I'm asking you how you're going to assess Donald Trump's promise for mass deportations. What's the number where he can declare that this is a success? Some have said 12 million. Some have said 10. I've heard 20 million. Is 1 million enough? How many? What's the metric for success?
Well, I think, again, you want to quantify it. Let's quantify it by the number of terrorists on the terrorist watch list that came under your candidate and your
CJ,
president.
Do you understand why I get frustrated? I'm whatever you say so that we can move the... See, I'm putting you in a box because I'm trying to talk about Donald Trump's next administration. Okay, so I'm going to repeat the rules to you, CJ, of debating with Maggie Dawn. Do not deflect off the issue that we're actually talking about by a bunch of whataboutisms. That is not the rules of debate. You can look up high school debate rules. You can't deflect off the topic. The topic is, how are we going to measure success for Donald Trump's promise to deport everybody who's here illegally? What's the metric? That's what I want to talk about. That's what I'm asking you, CJ. What is the metric for success?
I think we'll find out, won't we? Because
what does that mean, CJ?
Again,
do you want,
Maggie,
like, what does we'll find out mean?
Office.
Okay, then tell me how we're going to judge it when he does take office, CJ. What's the metric?
I think, well, Maggie, we've already seen some success. There's already been a caravan disbanded. Mexico is going to start enforcing it.
That's called stopping people coming here. I am talking about his promise of mass deportations. How do we know whether or not he has succeeded in fulfilling his promise?
We're going to enforce the law finally, Maggie.
Okay, he has said the words deportation. He said the words mass deportations. Everybody stood at his rallies and held the signs. I'm asking you, what is success when it comes to mass deportations? Is it 1 million? Is it 2?
It's one. One person deported illegally.
Well, great. I'm so glad that we got that solved, because guess who deported more people than the Republican president right before him? Obama did. Joe Biden has deported people. So that's success. CJ, does it make any sense to you why it's actually important? So let's start with them. Is success just getting rid of the 500? Is that when Donald Trump goes, yep, I did it, we're good?
I think success has already happened because the...
Okay, you told me 30 seconds ago he hasn't taken office yet, and now you're saying he's already successful, but we haven't yet seen the mass deportations. Okay, we'll try Charles from Wisconsin. What do you have to say, sir?
Oh, Maggie, my blood pressure is up just listening to him dancing. Cannot answer any questions. CJ is the only person I've heard talk about this caravan that was coming. And when they found out that Trump was going to be president again, they said, oh, we better turn and go back home.
Yeah.
I swear. But Maggie, wait, so you're telling me that Donald Trump in his first term never got the health care bill passed?
Yeah, weird. He didn't repeal the ACA. Funny, huh? He didn't have a plan to replace. Nope.
No, wait. What about infrastructure? He always says he's a builder. That infrastructure bill didn't get passed under Trump. I thought it got passed under Trump and not Joe Biden.
Nope. Sure didn't, Charles. Every week was infrastructure week under Donald Trump, and yet no infrastructure bill. Y'all, if you are on the line, stay there. I want to know, what's the metric for success for Trump 2.0? CJ doesn't know the answer. Basically, anything Donald Trump says, it's going to be success. This is a slippery slope that should never be okay. We should be measuring all this stuff. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. Last segment of the day coming up next, y'all, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
That's what I say, I'm coming home. Something's wrong. The road is long, baby, now.
What do either ride or phone?
I'm coming home and never more to roam.
Baby, tell me you.
Baby, I'm for sure coming home. I'm coming home.